Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 8 a.m. and that is Taipei time. And today is, or this is the audio at least, for August 12th. Well, the big news in here today was out of Argentina, and the peso has devalued significantly on the potential that Macri is going to lose the upcoming presidential election. And even worse than that is that it is a Kirchner-backed coalition of supporters that could get him out of office, which would usher in a return to protectionism and to nativism, and also to the intensely corrupt administration that had been in charge previously. Well, obviously that is raising some rather big questions about the sustainability of Argentina's debt. But what it is also helping to bring to the fore has been the persistent strength of the US dollar, and it was a little weaker in here today. But I think the broader picture here is that it has been reasonably firm for a prolonged period. And when we think about the pressure that is coming to build on the issuers and indeed the holders of US dollar denominated debt outside of the USA, well, then that is starting to very clearly come home to, for example, Argentina. But of course, it's also a consideration for places like Turkey. The Turkish lira has been really quite firm, and not least because they were able to source some funding from China. And Turkey is up for grabs geopolitically. At least that is what Turkey is trying to. It is at least trying to make that point, particularly with its purchase of Russian anti-aircraft missiles, with accepting funding from China, and also from all the continued attempts to access Western financing. So they are so far managing to keep the currency under control. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to continue to do that. When we think about where some of the risks are, well, there are some highly indebted countries out there, and the relative strength of the dollar has been a significant headwind. That's also the case in South Africa, where there is a lot of debt that's outstanding, and now the rand is looking like it is going to weaken further. This has been a very volatile period for the rand. It had been holding the region of 15 over the course of the last while, but it broke downwards last week. And while there is a short-term oversold condition, this does look like a chart that could go lower here. Well, what that is holding out the prospect of is that there are going to be issues in some emerging markets. And then when I think we look at India, well, India's stock market has been positive over the last 2 days. I thought it was rather comical to see Narendra Modi on National Geographic out in the wilderness with the Bear Grylls, looking very calm and upbeat, and very much an almost Disney moment in terms of the smiles that were going on all around. What, of course, he is trying to do is project an image to the electorate in India. Well, India's debt markets, or the non-performing loan markets in the housing finance sector, is another source of worry. But so far, it has been reasonably steady. One of the reasons why we've had some steadiness coming through in India is because Saudi Aramco is taking a pretty significant piece of Reliance Industries' refining sector. And we had an upside key reversal yesterday, or on Friday, and a little bit of follow-through in here today. Now, the reason that Reliance Industries has gone up over the last 2.5 years has nothing to do with refining, at all to do with the rollout of the country's first 4G network. If they are getting out of the refining business, that means they're betting increasingly on that network of broadband and ancillary services that can be built on the back of it. There was a lot of commentary over the weekend about the oil price and the fact that Saudi Arabia is trying to support it, but there has been scant evidence of any kind of rally that would really suggest that this isn't still a demand, or excuse me, a supply dominated environment. When we look at oil over the course of the last couple of years, it failed to sustain the move above $80. It's increasingly unlikely that we're going to see the price above $80 in the absence of a very clear geopolitical event that derails the ability of the USA to remain the swing producer in oil for the foreseeable future. Then, when we think about what's going on in terms of the copper price, well, copper has been quite weak, and it is still trading below that $2.60 area, and this continues to look like a first step below the peak, or a period of right-hand extension following the Type 2 top formation back in the middle of 2018. It has steadied above 250, and it has steadied here twice before, so we may get a bounce, but it has a minimum achievement to overcome, which would be to sustain a move above $2.75 to really begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I think the broad pattern here is that we are seeing some interest coming out of the industrial resources sector, but also there's a great deal of volatility evident in some of the soft commodities. Cocoa, for example, has been pulling back rather violently over the course of the last few weeks and coming back to test its sequence of higher reaction lows. The coffee price is also right around this $1 area, and it so far has been holding it. The big question now is whether it can bounce from this area, and it was in negative territory in here today. When there are such large questions about Chinese demand, then the weakness of the commodity complex is, I think, one of the clearest ways that people are exploring a bearish bias relative to China, because the stock market is largely manipulated. When we look at the volatility that's been going on in terms of the relationship between China and the rest of the world, the continued headlines about slowing down, and yet the stock market has been reasonably steady, then I think it is in the commodities complex that we get the clearest avenue to express a view. Then, of course, the renminbi continues to hold below this 7 level, and there has been this is a very clear breakout for the US dollar. The Chinese do not want a rout, but they do need a weaker currency, and they need a weaker currency more than other countries, and that suggests that we are going to see additional downside. The big question for countries like in Japan is going to be the extent to which the central bank is willing to try and devalue the currency. With the USA moving increasingly towards an additional round of quantitative easing and is already cutting interest rates and has stopped in decreasing the size of its balance sheet, then it looks increasingly likely that they're going to look at simultaneous monetary and fiscal stimulus. They tried monetary stimulus, they tried fiscal stimulus while trying to contract the monetary stimulus. Now they're going to go for both a combined monetary and fiscal stimulus. And Europe is lining up the potential to move back into quantitative easing. Well, that is putting upward pressure on the yen because they might be engaged in quantitative easing still, but it's not as powerful as what both Europe and the EU have lined up. And this potential for competitive currency devaluation represents a continued bullish phenomenon for gold, and it was up back above the $1,500 area in here today. This continues to look like a recovery scenario, and we have the rounding characteristic to the base formation over the previous 6 years. This has been an emphatic breakout. It looks increasingly likely that this is a medium term move, and that there are potentially years to go before we're going to see a meaningful peak. That doesn't mean that all of the advance is going to happen overnight, but it does look like we are in a new medium-term bull market for the gold price. That is likely to continue to act as a bullish phenomenon for silver, and silver prices were up in here today, back above the $17 area. Considering the extent of the base formation and the distance away from the peak back in 2011 that silver is, it has significant catch-up potential. Then platinum has been weighed down by the diesel cheating scandal, but it also has base formation characteristics. It has a sequence of high reaction lows within that base, and it does look likely that if platinum, if excuse me, if gold and silver continue to advance, that it will pull platinum up with it. Then when we think about what's going on Wall Street, well, there is a period of an indecision right now as the S&P 500 consolidates around the 3,000 level and the upper side of its trading range over the last 18 months. This is so far a reasonably tight consolidation, considering that the extent of the pullback has been less than 5%. I continue to think that the closest analog we have for the markets right now is the late 1990s. And that was characterized by the Russian debt default and the peso crisis. And then we had the Asian financial crisis as well, and long-term capital management going bust. Well, when we think about what we're seeing right now, we have continued strength in the US dollar. We have the questions of the sustainability of debt in Argentina, in Turkey, in potentially even South Africa. We have commodity prices that are deteriorating sharply. That's putting downward pressure on commodity-related currencies, and the Australian dollar is certainly one of those. The New Zealand dollar is also coming under pressure. The Canadian dollar is coming under pressure. Well, what that also suggests is that people are looking for a safe haven. Right now, their safe havens are in the dollar and in bonds, and the $15 trillion in bonds that have negative yields does suggest that this is a well-owned sector. The 10-year yield in the USA is down to 1.65%, and it is looking increasingly likely that we are going to see it test, at least test, the 1.5% level. The drive for a safe haven is propelling gold higher, but it also has the potential to propel stock markets higher. And the relative strength of the USA's technology sector, most particularly the kinds of companies that are benefiting from bond proxy status, that have adopted a subscription business model, that have got the growth of the technology sector, but the reliability of cash flows from the consumer staples sector, they are continuing to lead on the upside. The Nasdaq index has been outperforming throughout this consolidation over the last 19, 20 months, and it has continued to hold support in the region of the trend mean. And I think as long as these indices are doing that, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.